morning, everyone. To want to wish to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus, the one who drank that cup. I was intrigued by your object lesson this morning, Curtis, and had to think about that. For a message this morning, we're just going to have a little bit of an object lesson as well. Now, this is not going to stay here. I'm not going to be that balanced, but this is going to be our object lesson, this cup right here. I had to think of that monitor. He said whatever is put in it is what is going to come out of it, and that sort of applies to this cup, doesn't it? Whatever is poured into this cup is what's going to come out of it. We talked about a cup this morning in a negative way. I shouldn't say negative, I guess, but it was a bitter cup that Christ had to drink. But he did it anyways for our sins, for you and I, for every one of us. And that just really humbles my heart this morning as I think of that. He did it for you and I. Some of the memory verses that were shared talked about laying down our life for a brother, and we had a little bit of a discussion on that in our Sunday school of what that means, what that looks like, what entails laying down our life for a brother. And while it certainly can mean literally laying down your life for your brother to protect your brother, being willing to give up your life for his, it can mean a lot more than that in a lot of other ways, and one of them is going to be this illustration of this cup of cold water. And that is the title of the message. You can turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, and we're just going to look at the last verse, which is where the title of the message comes from. I don't have a lot to comment on this particular verse, but Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. This is a setting where Jesus had just sent his disciples, and his 12 disciples were sent forth to go and go into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. He says to enter not, but he says to go and gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they had a specific assignment. And then on this, at the end of this commandment to send them out on this mission trip, he said, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water shall in no wise lose his reward. Were you ever outside working in the hot sun? Maybe you were pulling weeds in the garden, or maybe you were digging up the potatoes, whatever it was. And it's a hot day. And someone comes and offers you a cup of cold water. How refreshing it is. Not just the cold water quenching your thirst. Maybe you're in the middle of a job and it seems like it's a tiresome job and you're getting tired of it and it seems like it's an endless job. That row of potatoes just seems to keep on growing as you're going along digging up potatoes. And it seems like the job will never get done, and this person comes and they offer you a cup of cold water. Suddenly, after the refreshing drink, the task isn't as endless as it used to be. And you suddenly have a vigor and a will to dig in and work again. And it's not just the refreshment of the water itself, but it's the idea that someone thought about me. and took the incentive and cared enough to cheerfully serve me with a cup of cold water. And that just really blesses my heart to think of that. I guess the burden of this message is to inspire us to cheerfully serve those around us. Not just because we want to earn recognition, not just because we are promised that we will receive a reward for it, but because we love the Lord and we want to show his love to those around us. I had two customers in the office one day, and as far as I know, both were widows. And they're elderly ladies. And the one was sitting there. She was waiting for her car to be finished. And the other one had just come in, as I recall, and was there paying her bill. But before she came over to the counter, I think, if I remember right, she was over talking to the one that was sitting there waiting on her car. And as they were talking, the one that was waiting on her car was telling the other one that how God has been so good to her over the years and always provided for her. And she's going through some, how did she say it, maybe some financial struggles at the time, but God has always been there to provide for her whenever she faces struggles and so forth. And they were talking back and forth. Well, the other one came over to the counter to pay her bill, and then she looked over, she said, "Can you put her bill on with mine?" She pointed to the other lady that was sitting there. She just kind of quietly said, "Can you put her bill on with mine?" And it was a basic job, and it was easy to do. So I said, "Sure, we can do that." Well, she wants to take care of her bill. And it just blessed my heart to see that. Here she was a widow. Now, as I recall, she had mentioned that when her husband passed away, she was handed down a sum of money, and she wanted to share it with others. It was a sum of money, I don't know what amount it was, but it was something that she was not anticipating or didn't know anything about. And she just simply wanted to share it with others. Well, when the other lady came over and I told her, "Well, the lady that was ahead of you took care of your bill," she was just so blessed. She said, "God always provides." She said, "I wasn't quite sure how this was all going to work out with her finances." And again, it just blessed my heart to hear that testimony. That was a cup of cold water. How do we lay down our life for our brothers? By giving them a cup of cold water. Just by the smallest thing. You know, it's not how much we give that matters. I think of the widow at the temple there when Jesus was watching, and how he pointed out how that she gave all her living when she cast in two mites as she passed by the church treasury. And if I looked it up, and if the information I found was correct, a mite is about 1/8 of a cent, 1/8 of a penny. So essentially it was 2/8 of a cent value. But she gave all that she had. She gave what she could. So it's not how much we give or how much we do for someone else that matters as much as it's the condition of our heart. When we see a need, what condition is our heart in? That's what really matters. You can turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And I just want to say, too, towards the beginning of the message here, that Andy is preaching to himself this morning. I need this reminder in my own life, in my own heart, more than once. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. We'll go ahead and read this passage. Jesus is talking to the people in parables, and he starts with, in verse 31, he says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered? When did we see you thirsty and gave you food and drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and came and visited you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Some pretty strong language that Jesus has in these verses. I believe what Jesus is saying is that even the smallest act of kindness to those who are in need will not go unnoticed. When we help someone who is poor, we most likely will not get a gift from them in return. They will be unable to help us in return because maybe they're crippled. Or they don't have the finances to give something back. Those are the people that we should be helping. Give with no strings attached. In fact, depending on the situation, the person we help may not even notice it or realize it. But God sees it. And he promises us an inheritance in his kingdom as a result. But the other sobering fact is that if we see a need and we turn the other way deliberately, God sees that as well. And for this, we will receive eternal punishment. Now, I realize that we can't meet every need in the world around us. But are we daily serving those around us wherever we are? That's a challenge that I would like to leave with us. Are we serving the needs around us wherever we are? The people we come in contact with, our brothers and sisters. Are we helping each other along? You can turn to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to jump into verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. This is a common, very familiar story about the Good Samaritan. I think we'll take the time to read this and then take a look at some viewpoints from the different characters in this story. So first of all, in Luke 10:25, there's a setting where this certain lawyer stands up and asks Jesus in a tempting way. He says, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he wasn't done yet. So he says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus gives this parable and says, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his raiment, his clothing, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And it happened to be there came along a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, pass by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, and he came and he looked on the man, and again he too passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw this man, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, and he poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And of course, the response was from the lawyer. He said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." It's an interesting story if we would study the culture of this whole setting. It would stand out even more. The Samaritans were despised by the Jews, and this lawyer was obviously a Jew. It's interesting how in his response to Jesus, he called the Samaritan just "he that showed mercy on the man." He didn't even say Samaritan. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were a group of people that were not purely from Abraham's descendants. They had intermarried with some other nationalities, and they were simply hated by the Jews. They had a different place of worship and so forth. It's interesting how Jesus used that Samaritan as the object of the one who made the right choice and did the right thing. Just some viewpoints that I came across that was interesting to me, comparing the different viewpoints of the different characters in this story, of the man that was left to die along the road. First of all, to this lawyer, the wounded man was simply a topic for discussion. This was something to talk about. To the thieves, the wounded man was an object to take advantage of and exploit. Someone to steal from. To the priest, the wounded man was a problem to avoid. To the Levite, the wounded man was an object of curiosity. He came and looked on him, but then he still passed by on the other side. To the innkeeper, the wounded man was a customer to serve for a fee. And to the Samaritan, the wounded man was a human being worth being cared for and loved. But to Jesus, every individual in this story, and including you and I today, is someone with a soul worth dying for. How do we view others? How do we view the individual with greasy hair and the smell of cigarette smoke and tattoos all over their body? Are we willing to give them a cup of cold water? I'm just really challenged in my own heart of the many times in my life when I didn't fill my calling to give that cup of cold water when I could have. But we still have today to reach out to those around us. We can turn yet to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, again, a familiar passage, starting at verse 19. This is a story of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus said there was a certain, Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen. He wore good clothing, all dressed up, and he fared sumptuously every day. I'm not sure what the detail of that meant, but he had a lot of income, obviously. And he lived in luxury. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And Lazarus laid at the rich man's gate full of sores. He just wanted to be fed with crumbs that might fall from the rich man's table. And even the dogs came and licked his wounds, his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue with just a drop of water, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. I think we'll stop there. Again, a very vivid illustration. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. He was judged because he didn't have a heart of compassion on those who were less fortunate. I believe he probably looked on Lazarus as someone who was disgusting and didn't deserve to be cared for. How do we view the outcast of society today, brothers and sisters? I just want to leave that challenge with you. How do we view those who are outcast from society? Just this week, we had a customer, it was a young girl, probably about 20 or so, and she had been caught with DUI. She had to have a breathalyzer installed in her vehicle. And of course, we had to show her how to use it when she came to take the vehicle. And yeah, tattoos everywhere and just foul language. And happens to be this young girl. I remember when she was probably about 10 or 12 years old, lived two houses down from us. And I remember her mom and dad. And they went through a divorce. I think she was the oldest of that family, oldest of the children. And it went some time later, I don't know how long it was, not too long, maybe a couple years later, her mom married another man, and he lived in there with them and so forth. And I don't remember again, it might have been 3 or 4 years later, they were divorced again. I don't know that she's married again, but what a broken home that she came from. How quick are we to judge those people, or how quick are we to lend them maybe a word of advice or a helping hand instead of just judging them as the outcast of society? Just a challenge in my heart to reach out with a cup of cold water. We could look at Exodus chapter 17 yet, just for an illustration of giving our brother or sister, whoever it is, a cup of cold water, laying down our life for the brethren. In Exodus chapter 17, we'll start at verse 8. The children of Israel were still in their wanderings through the wilderness before they came to the land of Canaan. And I don't know exactly, I didn't look it up real close to where they exactly were, but in verse 8, at one point in their journeying, Amalek came and fought with Israel in, it says, in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass that when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hands down, then Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What an example of support when Aaron and Hur just stood there, one on each side, just holding up Moses' arms. Lift up the hands that hang down. When a brother or sister is going through a stressful time, do we hold up their weary arms? Just a word of encouragement or a Bible verse. A listening ear or a prayer for them. I know sometimes I've already been in trying situations and I receive the text. Maybe it's studying for a message or whatever it is. Just a text that, hey, I'm praying for you. That is such an encouragement and a blessing. Don't ever underestimate the power of praise. It's another thought that I'd like to bring out. don't ever underestimate the power of praise. No, we do not need to flatter each other. But giving a compliment for a job well done is a cup of cold water. Expressing appreciation for help with a project is a cup of cold water. I can remember probably, 20, 25 years ago, maybe it was, might even been a little longer than that. There was a neighbor right close to my parents that their barn burnt down. It was a dairy barn. They were shredding newspaper and for bedding, and suddenly it just went up in flames. They lost several cows at least, but most of them they were able to get out. And it didn't take long. Within a day or two, they had track hose there, tearing the rubble apart, cleaning things up. And there was just a host of people from the community around them helping to clean up, and it didn't take long, there was another barn built. And I can remember that there was people there, just, it was a hot day, handing out bottles of cold water for the people that were working. What a blessing to have that. Just left a major impression on my mind at that time, how everybody pulled together to help to rebuild their loss. Are we ready? Are we available to help when there's a need? Ready to lay down our own agenda, our own schedule, be willing to help when there's a need? It's a challenge to me. I think of the song in closing, Working the Road. It starts out, I often think of the days so swiftly passing away. The road to heaven seems hard to find. But I am doing my best to reach the home of the blessed and make it easier for those behind. I'm trying daily to live for others, something to give my brother, groping in darkness blind. I want to hear him someday in glory lovingly say, you've made it easier for those behind. Oh yes, I'm working the road, helping the weak and blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven's abode and make it easier for those behind. Let's be ready to give a cup of cold water when we can. Let's kneel for prayer.